Welcome to Unsquish the Fish. The podcast where bloggers, writers, and Fins fans come to talk everything Miami Dolphins and bask in the glow of aqua and orange. And now, for the host of Unsquish the Fish, Ron Caniff. Fins up. Fins up. Fins up.
All right, what's up, Dolphins fans? We've got another episode of Unsquish the Fish. I am continuing to try and keep with my promise and give you two shows a week during the season, a recap show, which we've already done this past Sunday, and now we have our Jaguars preview game, and with us is somebody I had a long time ago, probably more than 3 months ago, I believe it was in the middle of May, Jimmy Bourbon from Fins News. How's it going, Jimmy?
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing? I mean, sorry, hey, Ron. Jimmy, I'm doing well.
I'm good, Ron. Oh, man. Well, that's a good way to start off the show.
Yeah.
I did a recap show and everything, but I just wanted to get, because we haven't heard your feelings, what are your thoughts on the game we just saw? I'm sure you got plenty of them.
I that first half was definitely rough. I felt like, oh, no, here we go again. They look like the same old Dolphins. Can't move the ball on offense. The run defense was just terrible.
That was the worst part of everything.
Spend all this money on if they're still not going to get run all over, that's not what we paid for.
Yeah, that's true, man. But as we get more into it now, we see that there was reasons for it. They definitely did some clever things to us.
Yep.
Took us about a half to really kind of adjust. It was tougher to adjust, I guess, on the fly to what they were doing as opposed to going into the locker room spending 10-15 minutes to try and figure out, okay, what do we got to do here to eliminate this? They had a good game plan, man, but let's face it, and I didn't really think about this after. They didn't play to win. They played to not get killed. And that's what all that chop blocking and all that stuff was about. They just played to not get killed. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Their game plan was never going to... Well, I won't say never because I got closer than we'd like, because we missed... That was their hope, that they would just play to keep it close and maybe we'd screw up. Well, we screwed up, but we just didn't screw up enough to lose the game. I mean, this is bottom line. They were never going to beat us with that scheme. So... I think for Dolphins fans thinking, oh, this is what teams are going to do to us every time. No, because we're going to figure it out. We're going to adjust to it. We'll blitz less, which means with those little quick passes that they try and throw. Because if you chop block somebody, and we were blitzing, so they get rid of the ball quick, and now they've got more open guys that are out 2, 3, 4 yards. We'll blitz less if they try and do that this time. We'll have more coverage shallow. They'll go 3 and out. I'm telling you, that same scheme won't work again. So I think that's just my opinion. I'm not a football expert. I don't know what you think about it.
No, I agree. And also what I noticed in the second half was, it started to come out that as much as people don't like Philbin, they were the better coach team. I mean, the Redskins were just committing penalty after penalty after penalty and just kicking and,
They were imploding. Yeah, they were shooting themselves in the foot for sure.
And, the Dolphins were just, coming back and just, doing better and, feeding off the momentum. I think they were mainly feeding off of Jarvis Landry. He just, took over that game.
He's like he's like the heart of the team.
Yeah, that one play where he, it was just a 6-yard pass, but then he took, 3 defenders, and he wouldn't go down, and he got the first down. I think that was, the turning point right there, and he was just so amped up after, and then it just, the rest of the team was feeding up his energy.
Yeah, he's amazing. I've been excited about him all up. I was excited about him when we drafted him. And I thought he was just going to be a really good receiver for us. And then, of course, I didn't have that on record, but I've had on record, audio record,
yeah,
that I have been an absolute Jarvis Landry lover. And I have no doubt in my mind he's going to be a great receiver.
I think he could be a Pro Bowler this year. What other slot receiver is better than him right now? He's definitely a top 5 slot receiver.
Oh, for sure a top 5 slot receiver. And that along with the special teams. And for those of you that didn't want to use him on kickoff returns and don't want to use him on punt returns, he was AFC Special Teams Player of the Week.
Yeah.
Thank you. So let's get off of that. I understand that it's risky. And I know I just said, he's the heart of the team. What if something happens? You know what? I got to be honest with you. You're paid to play football, and you got to put the best people out at every position. That is just – that's my opinion.
Exactly. I mean, the guy's going to make plays, so just keep him on the field.
Yeah, special teams counts. That field position counts for a lot.
Exactly. And, I mean, that he won the game on the special teams touchdown, and they were saying we didn't have a special teams touchdown since, like, Marcus Dixon, like, 2012. So, you know, we would do.
Yeah, and then now we did go and do a few moves. I don't know if you're aware of some of the moves we did this week. We cut Jonas Gray. I don't know if we added him back to the practice squad. I thought that was the intent, but I'm not sure. And then we also cut LaMike James because we're just not going to use him for kickoff, so there's no point in keeping him around because he really wasn't much value as a running back.
Yeah, and then they picked up another running back, you know, some other, like, practice squad, I think, from the Niners.
From the Philadelphia.
Of Eagles.
Yeah, from the Eagles. We grabbed somebody, we sniped him from the practice squad, because that's the way it works. If you're on someone's practice squad, you're fair game for every team in the NFL. They can sign you to their team. Now, I don't know if you could not go if you didn't want to, but you'd be crazy because, the chance to get on someone's 53, number one, and the money difference, I mean, I don't know why you would say no to any team, so I'm sure no one would do that. But you're fair game. If you're on someone's practice squad and some other team, well, that's how we got Michael Thomas. We sniped him from the 49ers practice squad a couple years ago before that game against New England, and then he ended up catching that pick in the end zone to seal the game. But that's fair game. Now, this new guy we got, and I apologize, listeners, for not having it in front of me. His name was Raheem Mohurt or something like that effect. I apologize for not having it in front of me. I have spoken to a few Philly fans that really, really like this guy, and especially like this guy's shiftiness in the return game. So I would not be surprised if you see this for sure. He's the third back now, so he's going to be on the 53, and he's likely also going to be active on game day. He may very well be the returning the kickoffs. I mean, we'll see how he does. But I guess it's just somebody they were scouting, and I think this team is still hesitant, the team itself hesitant to use Landry on the kickoffs. They like him on the punts because they want that security of the ball, but they're still not ready to give him the kickoff duties, even though I think they should.
Yeah, I agree. I've been torn on that because it's like he's going to be such a key part of the offense. So, you know, you don't want to just burn him out.
Yeah, I mean, I understand, but I mean, hopefully the other team doesn't score very much, so he doesn't have to run very many back. That's a real stretch there, though, Jimmy. I think what I just said.
Exactly.
All right. So looking forward to the Jags game, what do you feel like needs this? What's the number one thing maybe we need to fix? Because we did a lot of things wrong. Still got to win.
Strong.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
They gotta have a better just initial game plan. You know, they got to come out and actually realize that, you know, the first quarter counts.
Well, the whole first half, maybe. Yeah, where we have the ball,
I mean,
6 minutes.
They have to. I mean, I would say on offense, you know, stick with the running game a little bit. They didn't do any running in the first half, and then, you know, in the second half they started to run the ball, and, you know, Miller was getting nice chunk yardage. I mean, I think he only touched the ball like 13 times. I mean, he needs to get the ball like 20 times.
Yeah, I think 18 to 20 touches total for the game, including the catches, would be nice. I think if Miller got, I would love to see the stats on that last year. I wonder. Every time Miller had, like, say, I'm going to go with the number of 18. I don't know why, but that's just a number I have in my head. I wonder if every time Miller had the ball 18 times or more, what our record was. I'll bet we didn't lose a game. That's just my guess.
You're probably right. I mean, it's definitely, you know, definitely a lot more wins than losses on that.
Yeah, and every time he had the ball under that, I won't say we lost because we throw so much, man. We are so built on this pass game. That's just not going away. But three rushing attempts in one half, I get we had the ball 6 minutes, but that's not going to get it against most teams. We got lucky we were only playing Washington.
Exactly. And, you know, we might be able to scratch by again with a similar performance against Jacksonville, but you don't want to keep throwing out those, you know, those kind of performances. You need to step it up. You need to, you know, progress and play like a team that's supposed to win the game by, you know, double digits.
Well, we were a real slow start last year when we played Jacksonville. That first half was atrocious. We were kind of lucky. We kind of won that game in the same fashion we just won this last week's game when we played Jacksonville last year.
Exactly. We made some plays on defense, some turnovers, and, you know.
We got to start getting going in the first half better.
Exactly. And that you have to put on the coaches, too. Just as much as they make great adjustments in the second half, they have to do better just in the initial game plan.
Yeah, because their play calling in the first half was dookie. I mean, I just don't know how else to say it.
Again, I would say, you know, maybe do some running to start the game, even just like some screens, just to, you know, some short passes that you can get some positive yards, you know, make third and, you know, short, manageable.
I would love to see us start with a screen play. That'd be awesome because, you know, they think our O-line is a little suspect, which it may be. You know that they know that they can get to Tannehill because many have. So why not take advantage of that aggressiveness and set yourself up a nice screenplay?
Yeah, I think that, and you know, Miller can catch the ball and he's shifty in space. So, you know,
yeah, he doesn't.
The guy can get 5-6 yards on a screen pass. I mean, he can break it even.
Yeah, he doesn't have quite the hands that Damian Williams has, but he definitely, when he has that ball, you know, he can be very shifty and hard to catch, I should say.
Not necessarily hard to tackle, but speed.
He isn't necessarily hard to tackle. He's not really a tackle breaker. I mean, he's no Landry or Alfred Morris, as we saw.
Yeah.
But what else do you think we got to do different? Okay, so we need to start out strong. Maybe make sure we get at least some first downs. We really need to go down and get a touchdown, let's face it. But don't go three and out and then give the ball, you know, defense.
Yeah, exactly.
On there.
I'd love to have a touchdown to open the game, but, you know, just some first downs is something to build off of.
Yeah, for sure. And don't let the defense have to stay on the field for so long. Now, I've heard that some people saying that time of possession is really an overrated thing. That if you look at the Eagles, they're scoring tons of points, winning tons of games with a very low time of possession. So a lot of the college teams are doing that. I don't know. I just don't know if that's an... I've continuously said it's not a recipe in the NFL to win. I don't think it's an overrated thing personally because these are NFL teams that you're playing against.
Yeah, I don't think it's overrated because, you know, the defense gets more tired than the offense. So if the defense is on the field for, you know, three quarters of the game, you know, that's not good for your team.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen us... I don't know how many times our team has won with a very low time of possession. Oh, well, obviously last week would be the best example.
Yeah.
I've seen us lose with just an enormous advantage in time of possession.
Exactly.
There was, I believe, a Monday night football game about, what, 5-6 years ago against the Colts?
Yes, I remember that
back
game.
Back when we were still running the Wildcat.
With Peyton Manning, and he had the ball for like 10 minutes of the game, and every time he touched it, he went down the field in 2 minutes. But you can do that with great quarterbacks like that. You know, hopefully Tannehill can get to the next level, but he's not there yet. So that's not what we have. You know, we don't have a Manning or a Brady that, you know, when they touch the ball, they can score anytime they touch the ball.
So we've got some injuries, too, we're looking at. Rashad Jones, who, oh, man, he's such a beast. That's going to be bad if we lose him. Real bad if we lose him even for one game, even against the Jags, because he did so well. He made so many great plays. We know we got Rashad Jones with a hamstring injury. I think Albert's okay, because he kind of came back and played.
He played back in the game.
OV, I don't believe OV came back. I think Fide pretty much stayed in there for the rest of the time. Am I correct on that?
Yeah, his ankle was bothering him. I think we're so deep at defensive line that I would even say, like, if it's, you know, if he's 85%, don't even play him. You know, just rest him for the week. It's, you know, it's better to get him healthy. It's a long season.
He's not going to like that, though. He's trying to get that money.
I'm sure he is, you know. But that's good for us because then, you know, when he's hungry and, you know, when he does play, he's going to give it his all. But with that position in particular, we are deep. I'd like to see Fed, you know, I think he can still, hold his own out there.
Yeah, so, I like Fide a lot, and I'm when I saw OV go out and then they put in Fide instead of Shelby, I was like, score! I like that.
Yeah, you know. So and who knows? You know, if they're not going to re-sign Vernon, you know, we're going to have to see what this guy has anyway.
That's yeah, I think, and there's a good chance of that. What other injury? I feel like there was one other injury that we were. Oh well, Sims obviously, because I'm like 99% sure he's not playing this week.
Yeah, but you know what? His at first when I saw, I thought it was like an arm because his arm was twisted so weird looking. But since it was just a concussion, I mean, I say just a concussion because that's, something where, yeah, you might just miss a game or two. And, as long as he can, pass the test,
yeah,
hopefully he'll be fine and that won't be, a lingering injury.
Well, we're still waiting for Jason Fox to be able to pass that test because, I mean, let's face it, when Albert left for that play or two, and we had Linkenbach in there at left tackle. Man, that wasn't good. That just wasn't getting it done.
Yeah,
we need. I can't believe I'm saying these words, but we really need Fox to come back in case Albert goes out again for a play or two or longer. And he's not in game shape yet either. I mean, he needs to get. Even though your dream is your offensive line, your five guys don't come off the field unless someone gets hurt. I mean, he's not quite ready yet for the NFL load of a full game.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, no, he still needs some practice and some conditioning.
Yeah, what else, man? What else are you thinking that we need to do in this game besides win it? Besides the obvious,
I'd like to see the run defense tighten up.
Oh, man, that's for sure. That's the number one thing right there. I wonder, though, and like I said before, if they try that same scenario, that same, okay, we're just going to cut and we're going to run away from Sue, I think we'll be ready for it this time. I think we'll make the adjustment.
And I don't think Jacksonville's offensive line and run game is as good as the Redskins. I mean, Alfred Morris, I mean, he's been a 1,000-yard rusher every year in this league.
Yeah, so he's underrated, and I believe Dolphins fans, including myself, underrated him and probably this team a little bit. I mean, it's easy for us to say now because it was so close. So you're right. He does get like 1,000 yards every year, regardless of the mess that's going on around him.
Exactly. I mean, Jacksonville has this guy, Yeldon. He's a rookie running back.
Roll Tide, roll. Yes. I'm familiar with Yeldon.
Exactly. Yeah, he can, he's got talent, but he's only a rookie, and he didn't really run all over, the Panthers.
No, I was, I think I have him on the bench at one of my fantasy teams, so before we got talking, I was like, what did Yeldon do anyway against the Panthers? It wasn't much.
Yeah, it was like 56 yards, 60 yards, something like that.
Yeah, man. I want to see. I'd like to see Parker get in this game a little bit. I know they didn't bring him in at all, and so maybe it's just an experience thing because the game never really got. We never really, ran away with it. It stayed close. But I'd like to see Parker get in this game a little bit. I loved what I saw from Cameron. I want, and it seemed as soon as Sims seemed to be out.
Cameron
started going off. It was awesome. And I saw Tannehill make some nice throws.
And I think he had almost like 18.5 yards per catch, which is, that's incredible for a tight end. And, he had like 4 or 5 catches.
And there was two particular passes. That first one seemed like right after Sims got hurt. That was a nice pass. And then there was the one, I call it a deep ball because it was just a lot of nice deep ball touch to it. It wasn't like a 50-yard pass, but he had to put that air under it that he threw.
Yes.
And just hit him so nice. And, of course, you're seeing these guys. That's one thing about these receivers. You are seeing these receivers give full effort. And, of course, Sims was wide open for the touchdown, and that should have been a touchdown. And because he threw it out of bounds. But, man, you saw Sims lay out everything he had to try and catch that ball and stay in bounds. I mean, to the point that he hurt himself trying to do it.
Exactly. Yeah, this team, they're showing that they have a little heart, too.
They do. And Landry, of course, I mean, he doesn't catch the ball and try. He just does not want to go down. He's like, you're not going to tackle me. You are not getting me down. That's amazing. And then I saw Jennings on the one play. I think it was very early in the game, maybe the second pass of the game. Tannehill threw it kind of high, and he almost caught it like kind of behind him and up in the air. And I was like, wow, some of the receivers we had last year would not have caught some of those passes that were thrown. And I think it was the difference between Tannehill having that 93 passer rating versus what he had at the beginning of last year, which was a 70-something, because he kind of played, unfortunately, Tannehill kind of played the same he played at the beginning of last year. I hate to say it, but it's just the truth.
There wasn't anything that much different than what we saw last year, which I guess could be a good thing because, he had some plays where actually he should have been picked off at least once or twice. So he
that
got
was,
a little
yeah, lucky. There was a couple times he got lucky. A couple times.
But again, I mean, he's still – these are a whole new group of receivers, new tight ends. You know, there's going to be a little bit of a learning curve with these guys, even though he looked so good in the preseason. Now this is, you know, live games. It's a little bit different speed, a little bit faster than even preseason games.
Now, I did not look and see what Julius Thomas did for Jaguars last week. But I know, given our linebacker situation, I have to say I'm a bit nervous that Julius Thomas could light us up.
Yeah, we haven't been good covering tight ends for many years, and we didn't do so good last week either.
No, Reed like had it, you know, he took it to us, and I have to think that, and I could be wrong, but I'm just kind of feeling that Julius Thomas is better or will be more challenging than Reed was. So I'm not sure what their plan is for that. Now, I know the touchdown, apparently what happened was is Jelani was going to take it, and it was more like Jones kind of called it off like he had it, and then he fell backwards. And Jones is not really an amazing cover guy. He's more of a, you know, an instinctual react to, you know, run stopper and a, you know, something like that. And more of a, I won't call him a ball hawk, but he's not a guy that's going to be able to go take a guy one-on-one. So it was kind of a mistake on that one. But I'm a little nervous that Thomas could have a nice day. I don't know what he did last week against Carolina, but it doesn't really matter because Carolina has a good linebacking
core. He's not going to be back until week four.
Oh.
We caught a break.
Oh, Julius Thompson, did he get hurt or something?
He was hurt, and they're not going to have him back until week four. So that actually will catch a nice break.
Oh,
they
nice.
Still have Mercedes Lewis.
Yeah, he doesn't make me nervous.
He's decent, but he's not Thomas. So, we caught a break on that one.
Now, he may go out and catch 100 yards against our linebackers, but he still doesn't
do that.
Me nervous.
Yeah. But at least there's not two of them doing it.
Yeah, this linebacker situation, I'm really surprised they haven't decided to make, even if it's a minor bottom of the roster move. It was clear that Kelvin Shepherd was not getting the job done, and they brought in, Vigil, the undrafted free agent, or undrafted rookie, and they seemed to be switching back and forth with those guys some. And, of course, Chris McCain was out. He wasn't even active. I don't know if he's going to be active this game. But that linebacking core, we thought that the D-line would cover it up, but as soon as the D-line got handled and it had to go on the linebackers, I mean, it just didn't work.
it exposed the linebackers.
Big time. It really, they did a good job. Washington, again, I've said it like 10 times. Washington had a very good game plan, and they did a good job of exposing on defense the couple issues that we may have. Again, every team in the matchups are different, so it doesn't mean that Jacksonville can go out and do it the same exact way. Will they maybe try and do some of those things? Yeah, probably. Will you see Sue get cut once or twice? Yeah, probably. But they're not going to go out and just play the same game plan because they know that we'll be adjusted to it. But those linebacking core, I'm nervous when we get into these really good quarterbacks. Like Brady, man, yeah, he's going to tear up a guy like Shepherd or pick on even a guy like Vigil if he's not good enough yet. You know, I know we got a few games till we play Brady, but...
Yeah, I think our cornerbacks look good. It's the linebackers covering, you know, and especially covering guys like Gronkowski. You know, that's going to be a handful.
And then as far as the receivers for Jacksonville, I know they have a lot of guys. I know they got a lot of young guys. I know they have a lot of guys hurt right now. So I don't really anticipate it being a big issue there. Similar to what we saw with Washington, doesn't look like Blake Bortles has really gotten it going yet or gotten it figured out. I mean, on paper, man, again, of course, we should definitely be winning this game. I mean, there shouldn't be question marks in my mind.
Yeah, no, they just have to, you know, just go from beginning to end. You know, this also game has a chance to look exactly like the Redskin game. You know, hopefully it doesn't, but, you know, they're a team that's probably not going to be as coached as well as the Dolphins are. They don't have as much talent. They're young. They're probably going to be, you know, there could be turnovers, penalties, you know, stuff that the Dolphins should be better at and be taking advantage of. But if you're going to start off slow, you're going to keep these guys in the game.
Yeah, I don't like us keeping bad teams in the game. And again, in the Washington game, honestly, there was a play or two that could have been made that might have blown that score would have been much more lopsided than it was. There was just a few plays that we didn't make that caused that game to be so close. And it was, again, that fed into the strategy of Washington. We're not going out there to win. We are going out there to keep it close. That is our plan. We are going to keep it close as possible and see if we can just get Miami to trip up. And it almost worked, man. That plan almost worked. And it would have been our fault. It wouldn't have been Washington winning. It would have been us losing. Same thing with Jacksonville. They will not beat us. We will beat ourselves. That's what would happen if we lost. So, I mean, when you start talking about the tougher teams, it's a different story. But we got to get this fixed up here quick because we got Jacksonville and then we're on to Buffalo. And I feel good about that game because it's our home opening game and the new stadium setup and whatnot. I feel like it's going to be a very charged up game, kind of opposite of what happened last year when we went to Buffalo and they were charged up because they had their new owner and their team wasn't moving. And it was just like we didn't have a prayer. They were so pumped up. So now I'm feeling like we can kind of flip the script on them, but they look pretty damn good, man. They look pretty damn good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, definitely. That'll be a great game to watch. I mean, you know, you're going to have Rex Ryan. He's pumped. Yeah, I mean, he's still in the AFC. I mean, he's going to have he's pumped for his next week game against, you know, the Patriots. Yeah. He lives and breathes to beat Belichick and Brady. So I'm sure he's got something special. I mean, it's the moment, the day he signed with, you know, the Bills last, you know, over the summer, he had that game marked on his calendar for the Patriot game. And, you know, he wants to win that game. And then, you know, he's playing the Dolphins. He knows the Dolphins pretty well from his Jet days. And, you know, he knows, you know, what we have and how to plan. You know, I'm sure we're going to see tons of running plays, a lot of running.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like he did that first Jet game where it was a broken record of just run. But he don't care. He's going to do the same thing. He even made the move. He picked his starting quarterback, that guy,
Tyrod Taylor.
Tyrod Taylor, yep. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's kind of a guy that would hurt us. You know, he's a quarterback that has a decent arm. He's young, but he has some legs, so he can hurt us on the ground too, and, you know, right up Rex Ryan's alley.
Yeah, for sure. But of course, we don't want to look ahead too far to Buffalo because we still got to play Jacksonville, and I don't want to jinx us because I got to feel a little bit of responsibility. I'm not gonna lie, I've been talking a lot of crap about my Fins for a month. And they did not come out and look the way I've been talking them up. They got the win, though. I especially have a little group of Philly fans that I razz back and forth with a lot on Twitter and whatnot. And I have to say, you know, Philly looked pretty good. We looked pretty bad. But we're 1-0. They're 0-1. But they were talking as much or more crap than I was. You know, I have to say that there's probably at least a small group of fans of every team. And with Philly, maybe it was a larger group that thought that they were going to go 16-0. Well, that, you know, game week one, that's already blown out the window. Half the teams, every year, half the team's dreams of being 16-0 get blown out the window.
Exactly.
Steelers fans, Philly fans, sorry, guys.
I mean, I've noticed a lot of the guys even on our, you know, the Fins News blog, and they, you know, they weren't exactly thrilled even though we won. You know, there was a bit of a sour taste, you know, in your mouth that, like, they didn't start off well. You expected, you know, a bit more. I mean, a lot of people were expecting them to, you know, kind of blow them out by double digits.
Because that's what a playoff team looks like.
Exactly.
We're expecting to see. We expected to go on there and see a playoff team. Yeah, we got a win, but we didn't see a playoff team. And I think that's why the fans are frustrated. And that was my surprise.
But a win is a win. I'll still take a win over a loss any day. And, you know, it's still the NFL. And all these teams, even the worst teams in the league, they still can win games, and they do win games. So, you know, everyone counts, and especially a game like that, it was on the road on somebody's home opener. So that's not an easy, you know, not every team would be able to pull that off.
All right, let's talk about that spread there, Jimmy, because I know that's something near and dear to your heart, of those football spreads there. 6 points still? And what's the action looking like? Because I know that you obviously run Ace Sportsbook, correct?
Yeah, we're seeing, I mean, it's still early in the week, but, I mean, we're seeing it ridiculously lopsided. I mean, it's all coming in on the Fins. It's a big spread. It's one of the bigger spreads of the entire week, especially considering that they're, you know, they're on the road.
Yeah, it's the biggest road spread of the week. Last week we were the second biggest. At least it started out that way, but then it shrunk a little as the week went on.
Which says a lot too, because usually, you know, generally with gambling, when you're the home team, it's give or take about 3 points that you get. So, you know, if we were home, you would, you know, we'd be like a 9-10 point favorite.
That's insane to me. That's like the kind of favorite that, you know, a good team like Green Bay gets over Tampa or something. Now, probably actually Green Bay over Tampa, it would be like a 17-point spread at home. But that's a very big spread. It seems that the wise guys have some faith in Miami. What do you think is driving that, especially based off last week's performance?
Well, you know what? Before the season even started, there was a lot of these places that have these matrix on like who was going to do well this year. For some reason, a lot of these places that had these matrix, I know one of them was Harvard. They had their, you know, a big algorithm of like their best teams and stuff like that. Miami was one of the top teams.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that. There was a lot of statistical algorithms that had Miami as a top team.
Yeah, they like, they're a well-balanced team. They like that they have a run game, a pass game, defense. You know, not every team can say that they're a well-balanced team. You know, if this team can really run on all cylinders, they could be a top five offense and a top five defense. That's one of the, if you're both of those, you're one of the top five teams in the league. I mean, that's just a fact.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So there was even, you know, I think we did an article about it a few weeks ago about even the over under for, you know, regular season wins. You know, we saw the wise guys, they were, you know, 8.5 over for the Dolphins. You know, that was a sharp pick. And stuff like that usually hits.
So Vegas was saying Dolphins at 8.5, and wise guys are saying I'm taking
nine.
That money.
I'm taking that. I'm spending the, you know, I'm paying the extra juice on it, and at least they're going to hit 9. So, you know, that's a good sign. You know, I saw even their Super Bowl odds. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl, but their Super Bowl odds, you know, I saw them as high as like, you know, 35-1 by the beginning of the, you know, right before kickoff. In the first game, I saw him down to 20-1. I mean,
that's pretty high considering what we've seen.
Yeah, so I mean, I think that was just a lot of good. It's good value. Again, it doesn't mean that they're going to win. It doesn't mean that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. It just means that the wise guys see good value there, and you know, it's worth a shot.
I gotcha. So now, what is the we know that the spread is 6 points, but what's the betting been like? Because that's something you could tell us that almost no one else could tell us. You're the only person in the world I actually know that could give me that information. What
the
is the actual
is
betting
like? I mean, it's right now it's like a joke. It's like 95% on the Dolphins.
Really?
I mean,
Even
with that big a spread. And wow. Generally, I'll say that worries me a little bit.
That's
scary. Usually when the public is so heavy on one side, they don't cover. I mean, I don't care if they cover or not. I just want them to win.
Yeah. I have to say that you personally don't care if they cover. Perhaps you prefer they don't.
Yeah, it would be better for us if they don't cover. But at the same time, you know, I mean, being a Finns fan, I want them to blow out every team, you know.
Yeah. So. And that's pretty awesome.
I'd like to see it, you know, get to 7. I doubt it'll get to 7.5, but at least I'd like to see it get to 7. That, you know, to see the line push out a bit.
Okay, all right, I got you.
I would be more concerned if the trend keeps happening where people keep betting on the Dolphins, and now you see it go down to 5.5. That's not a good sign because you know then the money's going, you know, the line's going opposite of the money. So
what would cause the line to go opposite of the money?
That would mean that, you know, the wise guys are picking. You know, they see value in the Jaguars at 6. So if, you know, the money's coming in on the Dolphins, but you know, a couple of the wise guys are picking the Jaguars, then it's going to go. You know,
so when we say wise guys, that's really an expression for the sharps, the professional bettors, correct?
Exactly.
Okay, they aren't necessarily wise guys that are sitting in Vegas or smoking a
cigar. No,
they're
just, you know, there's some sharpies out there, and they know, you know, they have their own matrix on, you know, what the line should be, and then they see these lines and are like, that's, you know, based on all these formulas and algorithms, they think the line should be, you know, 7.5. So that's why they like, you know, that's why they pick the Dolphins.
It's just all
6.
Statistics, right? There's like no emotion involved.
I mean, weather, and there's, you know, there's 40-50 different variables that they plug into a formula. and then they churn out their own number.
Okay. All right. Now, on your end, are you just hoping for, which obviously is not happening in the case of the Dolphins game, but are you really hoping game by game just to get some even betting? Isn't that the best way for you to come out on top without worrying about it?
Yeah. Generally, you know, if you have even betting, then you win either way because of the juice, you know, that 10% juice vig. So, you know, that's good for us. And then, I mean, we also do that PPH type action on our end, which is paperhead, where bookies sign up with us and they just bring their players over and we just charge them a per player per week price. So we don't even care if they win or lose. We just want them to have more players.
Yeah, and I just wanted to make it clear that because I know we spoke about this offline that you're doing this out of where? What country are you doing this?
Costa Rica.
Yeah, you're not doing this out of the United States. So for anybody freaking out like, what the heck? This is illegal. What are they talking about?
Yeah, we're out of Costa Rica. I mean, this is where everybody else does it. You know, it's actually when people think of Vegas, it's actually all comes out of Costa Rica. I mean,
really? So that's like, so you're not the only one coming out of Costa Rica doing this. There's a bunch of people doing it.
Yeah, the biggest books in the world are from Costa Rica. Vegas is just because of the United States and, you know, it has a, you know, popular for gambling, but, you know, their lines come out of the big books from Costa Rica.
So that's where the lines are coming from. The lines are coming from the books.
Yeah, and the books are in Costa Rica. Oh. And then Vegas has, you know, obviously they're big casinos, but, you know, they follow some of, you know, they have their own action and they put their lines, but like the lines come out, like the biggest book in the world is BetCris, and that's Costa Rica.
Okay, interesting. That's all very interesting. Maybe give us a few rundowns on some of some other values for anybody listening, because I actually don't bet sports, but I find it so interesting. Like every week I swear I want to bet because it just looks like so much fun. I just never really have bet sports before. I play fantasy. That's as close as I get.
Yeah.
So maybe give us a few other games that you're looking at that you're thinking, I'm liking this or I'm not liking that, or, you know, just what you see.
I tell you, the biggest one that I like, and it's in the same division, I love the Bills this week.
What's the line on that?
They're plus one at home, and it's one that's action is coming in on the Patriots. I mean, who in their right mind wouldn't take the Patriots minus one? But again, the Bills, with Rex Ryan, they had this game on their calendar. They're home. They looked great last week. I wasn't really that impressed by New England. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't
I got to be honest with you. Yeah, he was uncovered half the game. Come on. And the Steelers looked like a joke when they got in the red zone. I don't know what was thinking.
Like a joke.
And they were missing
two field goals.
And they missed two field goals. And they were missing three of their top offensive players. Besides Brown, they didn't have Martavis Bryant. They didn't have Marquise Pouncey. And they didn't have Le'Veon Bell. I mean, you add all that up, and honestly, I feel like I know some Patriots fans that are level-headed. I know some that are not. But I know some Patriots fans that are level-headed to say, I watched that game. They were at the game in New England and said, I feel like the Steelers played better than we did. They just made a couple stupid mistakes with Gronk, missed some field goals, got stupid in the red zone, and lost the game. Simple as that, you know?
Yeah.
Simple as that. So I will stick by my stance that I still don't think New England is all that amazing this year.
I don't think there's
a dominant team this year, Jimmy. I don't know that there is a true dominant team in the NFL this year.
You know what? I would have loved to say, if you asked me a week ago, I would have said Seattle, but they lost. So, yeah.
So you're liking the action on the Bills game, which makes me so nervous. The Bills are making me nervous, dude. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I think the Bills would be. I think that would be my like lock of the week. I just
really.
Love the Bills.
So
I like
you're
the
saying
Bills
it's a win
week.
Then because it's only a plus one.
Yeah, I think the Bills are gonna win. I think the Bills might cover by like a touchdown. I think that's gonna be the shocker.
That's really interesting. What else you got for us? What other interesting lines are out there?
Well, the other one was just to stay in the division was the Jet Colt game. I think the Colts are a good team. And I think the Bills were a good team, and that's why they beat them last week. But I think they'll make the Jets land down to reality and, you know, crash and burn.
The Jets were playing Cleveland, so let's all calm down.
Yeah,
on the Jet
so, like,
there.
You know, I know, like, you know, a lot of the people in New York, they get all excited about it, you know.
You know that. You're from New York, right?
Yeah, and you know what? People get more excited about the Jets than even the Giants, and the Giants, for whatever reason, don't get the respect in New York that the Jets do, and the Giants have a lot more Super Bowl victories and have a lot more, you know, championships.
You know,
for whatever reason,
I didn't even
they're
know
always
that.
On. Yeah, they're always, for whatever reason, they're always on back page and the Jets are on front page. I don't know why. I don't know what the reason is, but, you know, the Jets just seem to get more play in New York, even though I think it's also because, you know, the Giants are kind of a classy organization. They've been that way for a long time. They don't really speak out about, like, opponents, and they just go about and just, you know, win games and just do their thing. And that's even when they won the last couple Super Bowls. They were like an underdog and just kind of went under the radar. You know, when the Jets were good with Rex Ryan, when they went to the two championship games in the AFC, they just had loud mouths. You know, all they did was just talk trash, and they were, you know, all over the – but that's what the media wants. They like that. They put that on the news. They put that on the newspapers. So, you know, the Jets, even though they still don't have Rex Ryan, they still talk, and they still, like, for whatever reason, they, you know, they still have that big following in New York, almost bigger than, you know, than the Giants with the media-wise.
Yeah, oh, okay, interesting.
So I think the Jets will be, you know, grounded.
What's the line in that game, by the way?
That one was, let me see, is 7 for the Colts
you,
at home.
And you like them to cover that? You like them to cover the 7?
I liked for the Colts to bounce back. They're another team that actually like the Dolphins a bit. They start games off slow, and then they do better in the second half. But, I mean, Andrew Luck is, I mean, he's one of the best. He's already one of the best quarterbacks in the league. So, you know, I think he'll bounce back. They have a lot of talent on offense.
Yeah,
you know, their defense
for sure
has to, you know, tighten up a little bit. But, and they're definitely a lot better at home than they are on the road. So
I think that's a true point as well. So we'll have to watch that closely. Any other games you're looking at?
The last game I would say is the Thursday night game. I like the Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs at Denver or Denver at KC?
Denver at Kansas City.
Yeah, Kansas City's a tough place to play, man. They got
exactly
probably the second best home field advantage next to Seattle.
Yeah, that one right now is 3. I think it's probably be right around there. It'd be a close game. The Chiefs are favored by 3. And the action's pretty split right now.
The Chiefs are favored by 3?
Yeah.
I tell you what, for those of us thinking that maybe this whole Peyton Manning noodle arm thing isn't for real, I think that apparently the bookmakers or Vegas or Costa Rica, they think it's real. They are not buying into Denver, even with that really good defense that they have. And they have a good defense.
They do. I mean, I think Kansas City, I was actually impressed with them last week. I mean, I don't know how well the Texans are going to be this year, but they're a mediocre team, the Texans, and Kansas City just like ran up the score and embarrassed them in their own home opener. So
yeah,
I think they're legit.
Yeah, for sure. Anything else before we start to wrap up the episode that you'd like to add about the Dolphins and just how you're feeling maybe about the season in general? I know that when you did the show with me in May, we went game by game, and you saw 11-5 as the record. Are you still feeling 11-5? I know it's only been one game. Or has anything changed your mind either way, up or down?
No, I feel pretty much the same. I feel like these early games is hopefully where we can pick up most of our wins. I mean, I think we can go 5-1, 6-0 to start for the first 6 games.
Yeah, that's going to be a key. That's going to be the key, is starting fast for us.
Yeah. I mean, we should win, you know, on paper, we should win next week. And then, you know, if you want to jump ahead, what you were talking about earlier in the show about, you know, our home opener against the Bills, how they had their home opener against us. I think there'll be a lot of momentum there. I think we can win that game.
I really feel good about that game, no matter, even if Buffalo's coming in. If, you know what? Especially if Buffalo comes in off a 2-0 after a victory, against New England.
I think they'll have their heads a little bit too high after victory. And I really think that the Bills are going to win this week. So I think that's an advantage to us.
You know what I'm thinking? If Miami wins, which they better as hell win, and the Bills win, I'm curious going into Miami, like if you had to guess, because you know so much more about this than me, what's the line there? Is it like even? Is it a push?
It might be 2.5-3 Miami.
So Miami's going to get 2.5-3 or they'll be favored?
They'll be favorite. Okay. And I think that'll be good because I think people if the Bills go 2-0 after beating, you know, the Colts and the Patriots, that was the AFC Championship last year, I think people will be like, sure, I'll take Buffalo getting points.
Oh, yeah. People, I mean, the betting will go the entire other way on that. Like, people will be taking Buffalo 90 to, you know, 9 to 1.
Exactly.
But especially, then the question will be, what are the sharps doing? What are they betting? Because even the sharps last year were really liking, the wise guys were liking Miami last year.
They were.
They really were.
There was games, I remember the Packer game, and that was one of those games I circled. And even though we didn't win, we covered. So, you know, and that was a game where everybody had the Packers. So I think if you see that where everybody has the opposite team we're playing and that team is an underdog, I like our chances as the favorite, definitely.
Yeah, that should be interesting. I mean, I'm not I guess I'm kind of rooting for Buffalo to win because I hate New England so much. And either way, an AFC East team, if they win, another one's going to be 2-0. Hopefully, we're going to be 2-0. Hopefully, Indy's going to beat the Jets, make them 1-1. Because right now, we're all 1-0.
I think that's the only division like that.
Exactly. Yeah. And no
and
surprise.
I think that's going to be that way for the whole year. I think we have the best division in football.
I would agree with that. We're going to have the best division in football. It's going to be tough. Maybe both wild cards in the AFC come out of the AFC East.
It's going to be basically a lot of the losses are going to come from each other, I think.
Oh, for sure. Somebody's got to win. Somebody's got to lose those games. I guess I'll have to root for Buffalo because I just can't root for New England under any circumstance. And even though it means Buffalo is going to be 2-0 coming into us, but I'd love to see that and then we surprise them. Because if that line is really Miami's giving points, oh man,
yeah,
I'm dying. I will have to message you and say I've got to know how far of a swing is the action going for Buffalo if Miami's giving points.
I think it'll be all on Buffalo if that's the case. Because if a Buffalo team is 2-0 after beating, you know, the two favorites in the whole AFC,
Miami's favored. But the smart guys will be like, that scares me. You know, that's like if I was like, because I'm such a cautious person, I'd be like, I just don't get it. If I'm not a Dolphins fan and I'm just looking from the outside, I'm like, I just don't get that. I'm just going to stay away.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Like, you look at it, it's like, well, Buffalo just beat the two best teams. People are going to be talking about Buffalo. Why aren't they favored?
Yeah.
So if they're not and they are getting points, I'm be like, well, there's got to be something going on there. They know something, you know, more than the public knows. Usually the public is wrong.
Yeah, interesting. All right, man. Why don't you give us some plugs? Give us all your information for Facebook, your website, all that stuff before we head out.
Basically, you know, again, this is Jimmy Bourbon from finsnews.com. Where, you know, if Finns News from a Finns fan. You know, so we like to, you know, just give our intake on the Dolphins. I've been a Finns fan for all my life. So, you know, bleed the aqua and orange. And, you know, I think this could be the year where they finally, you know, make a playoff run. And on the other side, we run a sports book in Costa Rica, asportsbook.com, where we take post-up action where people can wager with us. And then we also have bookies around the world that, you know, have their own players, and then they, you know, just use piggyback off of us and use our lines and use our service. So, you know, it's a real interesting industry, and it's great to mix the two because I love football, I love the Dolphins, and, you know, it's very interesting to see, you know, how these lines move and, you know, see where the action's coming in, and then after the game to see how, you know, it actually turned out.
All right. So if for you guys, if you want to get in touch with Jimmy or read Jimmy's articles, what have you, check out A Sports Book. All the links will be in my show notes of the show. As for me, obviously, I'm Ron. You could reach me. Best way to reach me is on Twitter at UnsquishTheFish, or you could send me an email at UnsquishTheFish@gmail.com. I'll be bringing you another episode, hopefully a recap of our win against Jacksonville on Sunday night. I appreciate everybody listening. One more time, thank you so much.